Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Praeshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, as you all know, and it's marked or not. Does anyone know which verse we're on? The marker is on the beginning of chapter 23, the Shishumar planetary system. It's the beginning of the chapter. I'll begin with the chapter summary. This chapter describes how all the planetary systems take shelter of the pole star, Dhruva Loka. It also describes the totality of these planetary systems to be Shishumar, another expansion of the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Loka, the abode of Lord Vishnu, within this universe is situated 1,300,000 yojanas from the seven stars. In the planetary system of Dhruva Loka are the planets of the fire god, Indra, Prajapati, Kashyapa, and Dharma, all of whom are very respectful to the great devotee Dhruva, who lives on the pole star. Like bulls yoked to a central pivot, all the planetary systems revolve around Dhruva Loka, impelled by eternal time. Those who worship the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, conceive of this entire rotating system of planets as an animal known as Shishumar. This imaginary Shishumar is another form of the Lord. The head of the Shishumar form is downward, and its body appears like that of a coiled snake. On the end of its tail is Dhruva Loka. On the body of the tail are Prajapati, Agni, Indra, and Dharma. And on the root of the tail are Datta and Vidatta. On its waist are the seven great sages. The entire body of the Shishumar faces toward its right and appears like a coil of stars. On the right side of this coil are the 14 prominent stars from Abhijit to Punarvasu. And on the left are the 14 prominent stars from Pushya to Uttarashadha. The stars known as Punarvasu and Pushya are on the right and left hips of the Shishumar, and the stars known as Ardra and Ashlesha are on the right and left feet of the Shishumar. Other stars are also fixed on different sides of the Shishumar planetary system according to the calculations of Vedic astronomers. To concentrate their minds, yogis worship the Shishumar planetary system, which is technically known as Kundalini Chakra. The first verse, first and second verses, they're written in prose. Mukunda Datta Prabhu, would you please read these prose? Because it's so nice to hear you chant Sanskrit.
Shri Shuka Uvacha, Atatasmat Paratas Trayodasha Laksha Yojanantarato, Yattad Vishnoho Paramam Padam Abhivadanti, Yatraha Mahabhagavato Dhruva, Samkala Yubhi, Sabahuma Manam, Dakshinataha, Kriyamana Idanim Apikalpa Jivinam, ajivya upaste tasye hanubhava upavarnitah. Sahi sarvesham jyotir gananam graha nakshatradinam animishena vyakta ramhasa bhagavata kalena brahmyamananam sthanur ivavashtambha ishvarena vihitaha shashvad avabhasate.
Translation for the first verse. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, 1,300,000 yojanas, that's 10,400,000 miles above the planets of the seven sages, is the place that learned scholars describe as the abode of Lord Vishnu. There the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva, still resides as the life source of all the living entities who live until the end of the creation. Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Kashyapa, and Dharma all assemble there to offer him honor and respectful obeisances. They circumambulate him with their right sides toward him. I have already described the glorious activities of Maharaj Dhruva in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Text number 2. Established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as the central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation." Want to hear it one more time? Yeah? Established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as the central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is distinctly stated herein that all the luminaries, the planets and stars revolve by the influence of the supreme time factor. The time factor is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the influence of the time factor, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves his devotee, Maharaj Dhruva, so much that he has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. Everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make his devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under his control. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Haritana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi
Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I first beg forgiveness for speaking out of turn ahead of my senior god brothers who are present here. Apparently there was some scheduling mix-up. They had to slip me in. And I offer my respectful obeisances to all the assembled devotees. This verse especially is heart-rending because of Krishna's affection for Dhruva Maharaj and recalling the story of how Dhruva became so dear to the Lord, in that he had a very strong material desire. He wanted a kingdom greater than his father's because he had been insulted by his father, wanting to sit on the lap of the king who was his father, and being rejected because the head queen, who was not his biological mother, told him out of political motive that unless you take rebirth from my womb, you're not qualified to sit on the lap of your father. Dhruva was insulted. He was a 5-year-old boy, and he was a Kshatriya. He had the nature of a Kshatriya. And he began to cry hot tears, which means he was angry. He ran to his mother, his biological mother. The king had many queens. And in a state of great anxiety, he told her what had happened. In fact, the rumor had already spread, and she understood his anxiety. But she felt helpless. She told him that, really, in this situation, there's nothing I can do for you. I was speaking to someone yesterday about the Bhagavad Gita at the book distribution booth, and they came up saying, this book looks a little dense. They bought it already, but they came back. This woman came back and said, it looks a little dense. I'm not sure if I can enter into this. And I went through it with her to show her how to read it. And I explained the opening scene of how Arjuna was in despair. And he had nowhere else to turn. And I asked her if she'd ever experienced anything like that. And she nodded knowingly, like, yes. I mean, who hasn't? This world, really, we're captive here. And there are frustrating situations at every moment, which I rationalize away. But ultimately, when I'm completely cornered and there's nowhere else to turn, in complete despair, there's only one thing to do, and that's to pray. Please help me. And the mother of Dhruva Maharaj said, there's nothing I can do. You'll have to pray to God. And she told him that the great sadhus who are seeking the Lord's help and his vision go into the forest and they perform austerities. And she told him that's what you'll have to do if you actually want to see him, if you want to get help from him. So Dhruva Maharaj was so determined, even as a 5-year-old boy, that he left that kingdom. He left the protection of his mother and his father And he was headed for the forest. This is the real impetus for spiritual life, this feeling. It's not an institutional consideration. It's this urge within the heart that I have to see Krishna. I have to have help from Krishna. This is the only sentiment, actually, this intensity that moves anything in this world. Everything else is business as usual. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam raja aham tong sarva papi bhyo mokshayishami masuchaha. Surrender to me. Just give up everything. Everything else, and just surrender to me as your only business. And in this world, there are so many kinds of surrender. Everyone's surrendering all the time. For instance, here in Los Angeles, this is a world-famous place for the high-speed chase. On television, they have all the time, ever since Rodney King, who was the famous case, I know it was broadcast all over the world, but if President Obama is giving a speech, State of the Union, and there's a high-speed chase somewhere in Los Angeles down the 405 freeway, they'll cut away from, probably not, but for anything else, they'll cut away and they'll show this high-speed chase. And what happens? The man's robbed a bank or done some other nefarious activity, and he's driving down the road in the car, and now he's being chased by 16 police cars with their lights going. And there's a helicopter or two overhead, some of them from the news station, and they have a telescopic lens so they can actually see his face, and his mother's at home saying, "That's my boy." He's driving down the 405 freeway, and everyone's watching all over the nation, and he's thinking, "Maybe I can get away." And he drives for hours and hours and hours on the freeway like this, and they have all these contraptions to slow him down. Like, they put out these nails across the road to pop the tires. And then after a while, he's running on just the rims of the car, and there's smoke coming out the back because he blew out some part of the engine. But somehow the car keeps going. And then finally, after hours, he runs out of gas. And then what does he do? He gets out of the car and starts to run on foot with 18 policemen behind him, helicopters above, and now he jumps over a fence and rips his pants. And then there's dogs on the other side, and they chase him. And this is true. It actually happens all the time. And then through the brambles and bushes, and he comes out the other side. And then finally, he sees he's in a cul-de-sac, and there's nowhere else to go. And finally, he falls flat on the ground with his hands like this, because all of the policemen have their guns drawn. And this is surrender. But not surrender like that. Surrender, sarva dharman parityaja, Krishna says, do it voluntarily. You can do it voluntarily. Giriraj Maharaj told a story about how there was a young man who was helping with some translation work in Bombay. And the young man's father used to come to visit Prabhupada. The young man came to find out more from Prabhupada about translating and to report to him. And the young man's father had a habit of smoking, and he was trying to give it up. And so in that struggle with that heavy, bad habit, he once asked Prabhupada if he could have special mercy from him to give it up. And Prabhupada said, "You can get special mercy, but it means that Krishna will make you so miserable that you'll be forced to give it up. Or you can do it voluntarily." So Dhruva Maharaj had this determination. Of course, he had a motive. His motive was that he wanted to see God because he had a desire to be fulfilled. But this is also not a disqualification. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, Yam Krodha Kama Sahaja Pranayadi Piti, he says, there are many different kinds of emotions. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti bhatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchintitasya sadrishin tanama purete govindamari purusham dhamaham vajami. Someone who approaches Krishna out of krodha, anger, am krodha kama, out of great desire, bhiti, out of fear, or sahaja, he's a natural friendly love, a batsalya. He has some natural love for Krishna. Similarly, in the 10th canto, there's a verse about how anyone who approaches Krishna for any reason will have his desire purified. In fact, when someone approaches Krishna, his desire becomes purified because Krishna says, this person is approaching me, and he may be a fool because he's asking for something which is useless, but I'm not a fool. So therefore, I'll fulfill his desire, but I'll do it in such a way that he won't ask me anymore. And for those who have surrendered already, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th verse, Tatenu kampam susumikshamanu bunjane ivatmakritam vipakam hridvagvapur vir vidudam namaste jiveta yo mukti padesa dhyapak. The famous quintessential verse of the psychology of the Vaishnav, which is that no matter what happens to me, I consider it to be my fault. I did it to myself. And therefore I'll suffer the reactions because they're purifying for me. They're Krishna's mercy upon me to purify me. And I'll wait for his supreme mercy to come upon me. All the while I'll engage in devotional service no matter what. No matter what circumstance I'm in, no matter what the venue, heaven or hell, I'll go on serving Krishna. And in this way, one attracts the attention of Krishna and the compassion of Krishna. And in the purport, there's a commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami, the great Bhagavatam commentator. And he says that just as it's the only duty, the only duty of the son of a rich man is what? He got to stay alive because he's going to inherit the wealth of the father. That's his only business. And similarly, the only business of the devotee is he has to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. And part of that staying alive is mentioned further in the purport that Krishna is so expert that if after the devotee surrenders or is engaging in the surrender process, there may be residual desires for material enjoyment. Just like if you burn toast in your apartment and you go back in 2 days later. Somebody burned toast here. You can smell it. So that residual effect of my involvement with the three modes of material nature, it may have some subtle influence. And Krishna is expert. He knows exactly what that is. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyami chabutani mam tu vena nakashchana. He knows everything about everyone. And he knows exactly how to arrange every situation. And therefore, he frustrates those last material desires. So whatever appears to be like karma coming to someone who is engaged in devotional service actually is Krishna's special arrangement for that devotee's purification and giving up the last vestiges of any material desire. So Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest. He was intercepted by Narada Muni. Narada Muni had overheard the conversation between Dhruva Maharaj and his mother. And how is that possible? Because he wasn't present there physically. Srila Prabhupada gives the reason. The reason is that Krishna is within everyone's heart. Sarvasya cha hamriti sannivishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He knows exactly what our motives are. And when Dhruva Maharaj expressed his burning desire to find Krishna, Krishna informed Narada Muni. And therefore Narada Muni came to the spot before Dhruva Maharaj entered into the forest. And he told him, you should give this up. Actually, you should be equal. For those who are who offend you, you should understand that this is not This is just the movements of the material nature. For those who are on an equal level with you, you should make friendship. For those who are superior to you, you should learn how to serve them. For those who are less qualified than you, you should learn how to give them mercy. He was giving him brahminical instructions, and Dhruva Maharaj rejected them. He said, "My dear Guru, you've given very good instructions, but I'm a Kshatriya, and unfortunately, because of my nature, I cannot follow your instruction. Therefore, I'm going to the forest anyway." And then Narada Muni could understand the determination of Dhruva Maharaj. He found him to be a fit candidate to hear about spiritual knowledge, and then he instructed him. So if someone wants a guru like Narada Muni, if someone wants instruction like the instruction given by Narada Muni, then one must have the burning desire of Dhruva Maharaj, which is what Krishna has responded to. Dhruva went to the forest. He performed his severe austerities as he was instructed, and Krishna appeared to him. And afterwards, Dhruva said that I was searching for broken bits of glass, but now I have attained the greatest jewel. So what I take from this verse, just on the first reading, is that the essential part of spiritual life and advancement is to develop this kind of desire. This desire and prayer must go on constantly within the heart, because the waves of material nature and the influences in this world are inexorable. And I must constantly be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with the intention to surrender to Krishna, because I'm helpless here. And this is what moves me forward in spiritual life. Everything is arranged. In fact, the time factor, which is all-powerful in this world, can be relaxed, can be staved off by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how the Dhruva Loka planet exists within this world, even though everything else moves, maya yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, as if on a mechanism which is unstoppable, Dhruva Maharaj is given an exemption. So there's no exemption in this world for anyone, from Brahma down to the smallest germ, except for one who's actually engaged in bhakti bhajan. Yas twindra gopa matavendra mahosa karma bhandana rupa palabhajana matunoti karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindamari purusham dhamaham bhajami. Someone who's actually engaged 24 hours a day in bhakti bhajan. And that doesn't mean just externally. It means internally, from within the heart. One is praying from within the heart for sincerity, for direction. As chanting and praying, please, Krishna, may I have one Vaishnav quality. May I please have one, something, one drop. If that prayer is going on sincerely and incessantly, then it attracts the attention of Krishna, because that's the only thing that's out of the ordinary in this world. Everyone else and all other kinds of activities are business as usual. The interactions between human beings and animals going on for the normal causes are uninteresting. They're predictable. But what's not predictable is surrender. It takes you out of the realm of time. It takes you out of the realm of this material universe, because Krishna is involved, and Krishna is Yogeshwara, Yogeshwara. He's the supreme mystic of all supreme mystics. Prabhupada once said that there are replacements for all the four regulative principles. What's the replacement for gambling, he said? Surrender to Krishna. Now that's a gamble. I'm putting it all on the line. I'm going to surrender to Krishna. what's going to happen now? You have no idea. But it's going to be wonderful. Look at Dhruva Maharaj. This is historical. This five-year-old boy who had this desire. And he did it. That's newsworthy. And everyone wanted to hear about it. All the transcendentalists, all the Atmaramas want to hear about it. Itam Bhuta Gunohari. That question came up in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it that these liberated souls want to hear about this? Itam Bhuta Gunohari. Because it's the same quality as Lord Hari. The sound vibration is not different. The stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are they not different? Because those who surrender to Krishna, they attain the same quality as Krishna. They attain the same status qualitatively as Krishna. That's newsworthy. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma puyaya kalpate. Like an airplane taking off. You go, 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 go. And then by Krishna's arrangement, by His grace, by His mercy, that desire is maintained. We keep everything moving. Iha yasya harer dase karmana manasa gira nikila apyavastastu jivan muktasu uchite. The tongue, the ears, the eyes, the nose, everything working for Krishna. Like during this festival, I was thinking every place I walked the last 3 days around the community, every door I looked in, someone was engaged in Krishna Katha. There was a play practice going on when I went to return chairs in the Prashanam Hall. And then in the temple room, kirtan was going on. Devotees were packing books for distribution on the lawn. Kitchen, cooking, pujari room, taking care of Lord Jagannath. Total immersion. And then the plane can take off. Even in from this material position. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about Dhruva Maharaj over and over again from Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit used to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like to hear the most? About Dhruva Maharaj, about Prahlad Maharaj. Because that is the foundational aspect of devotional service. This kind of determination and this kind of surrender. There's nothing else you can build if you don't have that. You can try for many other things, but if you don't have Dhruva Maharaj's determination, you won't get much. Well, you'll get anything, but you won't get devotional service. That's the real thing. So we pray for this kind of sincerity and determination of Dhruva Maharaj, and therefore we hear about his activities, and it's beyond this world. Even while we're living in the world, if we attain this kind of feeling within the heart, this kind of sincere prayer, which moves our arms and legs, we vote with our feet. It's a proof, actually. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most essential verse taught by Ishwarapuri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta ucha Hasatyato rotiti roti gayati unmaravan rittiti lokabhayaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back after chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which he had received from his guru. And he asked him, Gurudev, what kind of mantra did you give me? Because it's driven me mad. I'm laughing, crying, falling on the ground. And his guru, Srila Ishwarapuri, became very happy and said, this is the goal of life, and you've attained it by chanting Hare Krishna. And then he gave the verse, Evam Vrata Swa Priyanamakirti. If you take a vow to chant Hare Krishna, take a stand, I'm going to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly, nonstop, then gradually you'll become attracted to it. And gradually your heart will melt. And gradually you'll also become a crazy person. So, when we take this vow to chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna within our heart sees our sincerity and will help us. Now I'll take questions or reflections because we have a few minutes left. Akurnath Prabhu, do we have a microphone, please? Go ahead, because time's a-wasting.
Surrender, I think of like doing what someone else says, and I'm thinking that the, like the brahmacharis, or like when we used to preach to people sometimes and say, you know, you join the temple, and you do whatever the temple authority says, and that's surrender. But my question is, for householders, we have to make a lot of independent choices in our careers, in our families, economically and so forth. So what is, you know, I'm thinking of surrender in terms of just like abandoning our own individual choices and doing what someone else says. But how is that reflected in household ashram?
Well, we call it sweet surrender for a reason, because actually we find that, as I said earlier, we're all surrendering somewhere. And in the Brahmacharya ashram, there's no happier place to be within the three worlds, actually, because there's not a care in the world in the Brahmacharya ashram, because you're free to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, and no one can come and say otherwise. That's your prerogative. That is real freedom. That's real happiness. You get to sit and take prasadam with the devotees, and you have no other obligation. And then when we have other obligations, this is a great lesson, actually, because there's a way in which when I come to Krishna consciousness, I may be immature, apakva, maybe unripe. And so I come and I make this kind of surrender, and then I find out that, well, it's a little uncomfortable. And so first thing is dependence. I find myself dependent. And then I want to become independent. This is the pendulum swing. I'm dependent, and then I feel I should become independent. Restlessness. Because of urgings within the heart for extra things that aren't included in the nine processes of hearing and chanting. I need some other kind of support. So I take that and I become independent. And then in independence, the great blessing of grihastha life is the feeling of being uncomfortable on that side. That's a great blessing, actually. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tad vedo bayam saha. Avidyayam ratum tirtva vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So as we continue the process of Krishna consciousness in the grihastha ashram, in that shelter of that ashram, the main lesson there is to be uncomfortable. Very good. Struggle is very good. Feel the heat. And the struggle of all these extra things. When I'm feeling that, why do I have to do all these necessary things? Do I want to take another breath to do something that's not related to Krishna? I had this experience myself. May I reveal my heart to all of you and tell you my personal realization? I had a business for many years selling water filters, as many of you know, that I maintained my ashram. And everyone knows. That's good. Good advertising. I did a good job of that. I'm not advertising anymore. And this is why. I remember the moment I was on my phone. I was doing my business. I was speaking to someone who was a little bit caustic, a customer, and they were arguing with me about water filters and this kind, that kind. They're so, material world's so unlimitedly, you know, complicated. You can't just buy one kind of toothpaste. There's 50 kinds. And same thing with water filters or anything else. It must be a symptom of Kali Yuga. So argument was going on, this, that, proved to me this, that. And I was thinking, all of a sudden, it just welled up in my heart. It was Krishna's supreme mercy upon me, in my heart. I was sitting in my chair in my office at my house, and then it came into my heart, my mind. I said, I am not going to waste one more breath on this. I am not going to do it. I will not do it. I will not waste one breath convincing somebody to take something that's not Krishna. I just won't do it anymore. I was sick of it. I was fed up. I couldn't take it. And I said, I don't care about the money. I don't care what happens. I'm not doing it. I won't do it. And that was it. And I just started detaching myself. So this, we come, then we go and become independent. And then we feel, Krishna, I don't want to be independent. I want to be dependent on you. And then we come back. And this is called interdependence. This is mature devotional service. When I come back on my own terms, I've seen this side, I've seen that side, I know what it is. And now I choose to do this. That's nice. And that's the only exciting thing going on in the world. I see this on Sankirtan. We go to sell books. A long time ago, I heard about a devotee in Russia who, when he was selling books, he decided when he asked for the donation, he would completely leave it up to the person whether they wanted to give or not. And even if they didn't give, he'd make it completely clear that you could still keep the book. I'm not going to chase after you. I'm not, you know, you can have it. It's up to you. But if you donate, then that'll be good for you and fine with me. Either way, your choice. And he said he doubled his scores, increased. Now, not as a technique, I started doing this, but I started thinking, you know, I'm gonna do this just so that my relationship with the people is completely clean. So I started telling people, up to you, you give or not give. And it wasn't a technique. I wasn't saying it because now I know this will psychologically trap them into giving a donation. I left it completely open, like within my own heart, that you take it or don't take it, right? And amazing things started happening because I saw free will at work. You know, like people who took the book, gave a small donation, and then chased after me and said, I want to give more. And I thought, that's nice. You know, that's what I want. I want to chase after Krishna and say, I want to give more. This is the real position, mature position that I've decided. You know, once that decision is there, no one can move you. No one can do anything to you. They can put you in jail. Narayana Paraksvarve na kutashana bibiti. Swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyana darshana. Lock me up, put me in Saudi Arabia. I don't care. I'm going to go on doing my devotional service, whatever it is. This is, so as we take to the, you know, whatever situation we find ourselves in, as we continue our connection to at least the five processes of devotional service, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, worshiping the deities and living in a holy place, even a casual association with these five is extremely potent, even if one doesn't have faith in them. If we continue those, even if we find ourselves in a situation where we're far away or we're consumed with other kinds of things, we'll get the purification and we'll be able to make advancement. Hare Krishna. 30 seconds. Yes.
Nowadays, of our devotees don't have a strong foundation of a brahmachari or brahmacharini training. You know, they may come married or they just, that facility is not there in many temples. So how's one going to come to that state later on when naturally, like you say, we realize that was the happy days and we want that again? But how about if we don't have that strong foundation?
Well, Krishna consciousness is not stereotyped. And, you know, Krishna responds to our sincerity. And, you know, it's not that we can always just recreate what we want to recreate. The other day, Devamrita Swami was speaking about Prabhupada's particular, one of his particular areas of expertise was that he took full advantage of whatever Krishna gave him. I mean, look what he gave him. He had the wrong message coming to, you know, Hippieville with saying four regular principles, etc. And, you know, at the wrong time of life, at an elderly time with no money, mostly when you start a big enterprise, people tell you you have to be fully capitalized, otherwise you're not going to make it. He had everything going against him, right? But he was successful. So, you know, our success isn't based on necessarily some formula. So we have to use whatever we have to our full advantage when we have it. If we do that, it always grows. I mean, in fact, this is how Krishna consciousness spread around the world, is that those who came to Krishna consciousness originally, they didn't have any background in the Brahmacharya ashram. They just came. But they had this faith. They had faith. If someone has faith that the holy name is non-different from Krishna, then they can pass it on to others and effectively do so. That's what's necessary. So you can go to any place in the world. It doesn't matter where it is. And if you have that faith and you sit down and you chant Hare Krishna and you invite other people to come, even if it's one person, doesn't matter. It'll expand. And those people, even who don't have a background in Krishna consciousness, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumba Yavanaka Sadaya Yenecha Papa Yara Pashra Yashaya Shudyanti Tasmai Pravavishnave Namaha. Shukadev Goswami says, doesn't matter where they're from. They can be from any culture, and they can be from the lowest cultures, dog eaters. And Jiva Goswami says, not just somebody who accidentally ate a dog. It's somebody who's grew up eating dogs. They can become Krishna conscious. Bejare muniyotagre bhagavantamadhoksajam satvam bishudham shemaya kalpante yenutaniha. In the Bhagavatam Sutta, Goswami says, what's the secret? The secret is to just follow what the previous acharyas have done from wherever you are now. Because it doesn't matter what situation you are in now, you have full potential because you're actually a spiritual soul. And when you connect with the supreme spiritual soul, Krishna, through his representative, through the parampara system, you will become electrified also. So all kinds of situations like this. Magrari the hunter is an example given in the Atmaramaverse explanation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and many, many more. So we can't lament over what we don't have. In fact, if we look at the situations that are dire and we concentrate on those, then we become overwhelmed with a feeling that maybe this can't be done. But look at what's the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and what are all the stories in the Bhagavatam. Even Prahlad Maharaj himself said that before he began to offer prayers, he said, you know, what's my qualification? All the demigods tried to pacify Lord Nrsingadev, and they couldn't do it, even though they knew excellent Sanskrit and they're in the mode of goodness. But now, here I am, a five-year-old boy, and I don't know Sanskrit, and I'm a demon. What am I going to say? And then he remembered, Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Gajendra, the elephant. He was an elephant, and he succeeded. Jatayu was an old bird, and he succeeded. Hanuman was a monkey, and so were all his associates, and they succeeded. So wherever it is, bhakti, it's so powerful, that one little spark. If it's fanned properly in any situation, it will conflagrate. And that's what's happened all over the world because of Srila Prabhupada. He fanned that spark of bhakti. He didn't make any kind of condition that you have to be from a Brahminical family or it has to be like this. He adjusted as he went along, and we have to do that too. Adjust, adjust, adjust. The only one thing that you have to do is have faith in the holy name and surrender. And if you do that, people will come from all over the universe. You can be dropped off in the middle of nowhere, and if you start chanting Hare Krishna with faith, living entities will fly in by the arrangement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you build the biggest, most beautiful temple in the world, and there's no bhakti inside, it's useless. And it's a burden. So live wherever you live, do whatever you do, but cultivate bhakti. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna. Associate with devotees and start in a simple and a humble way. Just be surrendered and sincere. It's so easy, bhakti, because it's backed by Krishna. If you're backed by Krishna, then anything's possible. And that's what's exciting about spiritual life, is anything can happen. and does happen when you surrender. It's exciting. Yes, Prabhuji.
Haribol, thank you. That was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful class. And it was a beautiful, beautiful festival. So I just like to congratulate all the devotees who have attended. How about a round of applause for all the bhajans? Hare Krishna. Haribol. So in the plea of devotional service, I need three drivers who have a current California driver's license to help me return the cars that were used yesterday for Lord Jagannath's parade. If you don't have to have a good credit, I just need the driver's license. But you have to have a social security number. No, I'm just kidding. Hare Krishna. Thank you. You can meet me outside, and thank you for your service.
You're also all invited to the San Francisco Rath Yatra, which is next weekend. So please rent a couple of big buses and just drive up if you can, and we'll see you all there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, go premanande haribol.